Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Is coming out. If you ask me even what 5G stands for, I don't know if I could tell you. I know that we're using cell phones. We start out with 2G, I think, 3G, 4G. We're at 5G now. And what does that say? Are we going to be looking soon at driverless cars? But even more than driverless cars on the roads, what about almost driverless communication? In the sense that will technology, where it's leading us today, actually let people almost be telepathic in how we send messages? They say if you woke up Rip Van Winkle, the famous character of lore, and you showed him today's world with faxes and airplanes and instant messaging and the social network, he would be in shock. Things would be moving so fast. Television, all of these things. Are we going to be woken up into a new reality very soon that is going to propel mankind so much further in how we communicate, how fast we communicate, so fast that typing would be like a snail moving as compared to a race car? Even they're talking about telepathy. So we're going to be speaking with somebody today that is doing work on this. This is his field of research. And I think I'm just going to be most of the show with my mouth agape at what the future may look like. What the future may look like very soon with the technology that we are seeing taking place today. So don't go anywhere. And again, I want to remind you that if you ever have any comments or questions on the shows that we do, feel free to email us at info@israelnewstalkradio.com. We always love hearing from our listeners. And even if you don't have anything much to say, just drop us a line. Tell us what your first name is and where you're listening from and maybe even how you heard about the station, because we love hearing from our listeners. And just to say hello now to all the different countries that are listening in: Slovakia, the United States, Israel, United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, etc., etc. We're going to be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
We are here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and today we're going to be talking about the future. What is it going to look like, or what might it look like? Are we going to be able to be almost robotic? Will things come instantly? And we've come to a generation today where we want instant gratification. We have no attention span because everything has to come now. If we have to wait even 1 second when we're waiting for something to download or upload onto the internet, we get all frustrated. And what's going to happen in the future? Right now, if you're here in Israel, at least, you're going to see commercials advertising 5G, and you can get your 5G phones now and 5G service from your providers, and this is going to open up an amazing future. They say that we're going to be having driverless cars in the next few years. I don't know when exactly, but this is all because, again, of 5G as well. And then there are other people who are saying how dangerous 5G is and how dangerous technology can be. We see all these futuristic movies about what's going to happen. I don't know. I've never seen a movie that took place in the future that showed a rosy future. Anyway, here to tell us more about what we might be expecting to see is our guest, Ron Sones. Recently, there was an article written about him in Arut Sheva, IsraelNationalNews.com, and it was a very interesting article entitled Fusion Threshold Author A Lot Sooner Than You Expect. So I'm going to stop right there and welcome to the show our guest, Ron Sones. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to be here and to be able to speak about the things I've been thinking about in that regard.
All right. You've written a very long manuscript, and you say that it is it's over 100 pages, and you say that no publisher will even touch it. So tell our listeners why.
Well, okay. I wrote this manuscript in the early 1980s, and at that time, or even before that time, I was thinking about things that were going on in the computer industry, and people had noticed that a lot of progress had been made in computers in terms of improving the power that computers had compared to the early computers of the 1950s, compared to what they were in the 1970s. They were thousands or even millions of times faster. They had thousands or millions of times more storage, and the transmission speeds were hundreds and thousands of times faster than they were previously. But I noticed there was one thing where really no progress at all had been made. And that is, if you had a thought that you wanted to express and transfer that thought into a computer, how did you do it? The way you did it was you would type it through a keyboard. Now, the keyboard or the typewriter was invented in the early mid 1800s, and except for the fact that it works electronically and electromechanically now instead of then, it really hasn't been improved all that much in terms of the speed at which you can use it. Good typists can type maybe 10 or 15 characters a second. Ordinary, everyday people who use them, maybe 5 or 6 characters a second. And so I thought, what kind of progress might there be in terms of enabling people to improve the rate at which they can transmit thoughts from their brain into a computer? And one of the obvious things that people think of is, well, how about talking into the computer? If we can talk into the computer, that would be a lot easier than typing. But if you think about it, really doesn't help all that much. Helps a little bit, but not that much, because for one thing, when you type, you use punctuation, and when you talk, you don't. And if you don't have punctuation, you can have a problem specifying how things should be organized. And,
but what about when you're talking to your Google Assistant or Alexa? They're listening to your voice. It's going in through some type of system.
That's correct. And what happens is that there are artificial intelligence algorithms behind it that enable it to infer what kind of punctuation there should be. And they do a pretty good job of it, actually, but it's not perfect. But the problem is, you see, when you talk, you're using sound waves. Now, sound waves use what we call acoustic frequency. The frequency at which or the speed at which information can be transferred from one place to another is dependent upon the vibration frequency of the medium which is transmitting the information. So when you use sound, you're using a medium that transmits at a frequency of about 1,000 vibrations a second, or 1,000 hertz, or 1 kilohertz, as it's called, which is fairly low frequency. Now, I was thinking that, well, suppose we could improve that. Suppose we could have a connection between the brain and the computer that works at, say, radio frequency. Now, radio frequency is maybe 1,000 times better than that. And maybe you wouldn't use all that capacity, but you could certainly transmit information from your brain into the computer quite a bit faster if your brain were able to use a higher frequency medium to transmit the information from your brain into the computer. And then I thought, well, that's interesting, but if I can do it with my computer, then somebody else can do it with their computer. And the computers can talk to each other. That's pretty commonplace now. Computers transmit data to each other all the time. So if I could transmit what I think into my computer, and my computer transmits into your computer, and your computer transmits into your brain, then we can have a conversation through the computer, brain to computer, computer to brain, in effect, which would seem telepathically. But the interesting part about that is that it can happen a lot faster than with normal speech. And that's where you have interesting consequences, because if you can have people communicating with each other faster than they do now, then you can have groups of people doing this faster than they do now. And when people are trying to solve a problem, if you have a group of people trying to solve a problem, they have to interchange information with each other all the time. But if they can do it faster, then they can solve the problem faster. And in solving the problem faster, that helps them solve other problems faster. And this effect kind of compounds on itself as time goes on. Now, what I'm suggesting is that this improvement in the speed at which information can transmit around from person to person has tremendous social implications that virtually nobody talks about when they talk about brain-to-computer interfaces. This has become kind of an interesting topic in the news recently, particularly because a fellow named Elon Musk, who deals with all kinds of different technologies, electric cars and space travel and things like that. He's also involved with brain-to-computer interfaces, and he did a demonstration where he connected the brain of a pig to a computer and enabled it to do something that I guess it otherwise wasn't able to do. But the thing is, that if people can do that, and many people can connect to their computers directly and have the computers connect to each other directly, then the speed at which information travels can be much faster, and the amount of information that gets transmitted becomes much greater. And eventually, what will happen is, instead of just transmitting words from your brain into the computer, you can transmit anything that your brain processes, images and emotions and, you know, any opinions, anything that you have in your brain, and memories can be transmitted to the computer and to everyone else, and everyone else's to yours. And eventually what happens, and what I'm suggesting, is that this transfer of brain to brain information becomes so large that everybody's brain becomes connected to everybody else's brain, and in effect, you end up with one super brain connecting everybody together. And this is what scares everybody. Everybody hates that idea.
I'm just wondering if our thoughts can be transferred onto a computer that fast and communicate with someone else's computer that fast, which is in turn connected to their brain. We can't really control our thoughts. Like, if I'm meeting somebody for the first time and they do something that was really, you know, bad, and I think, you putz, right? I mean, I won't be able to control that thought before they're already listening to me saying, you putz. I hope people know what that means. Like an idiot. Like, you idiot. Okay? Go ahead.
Okay.
Answer that question.
Okay. Now, that sort of concern is a consequence of people having separate minds. The fact that you don't know what's going on in my mind and I don't know what's going on in your mind creates a barrier between us that is, well, basically the entire basis for all social interactions. The fact that people don't know what's going on in other people's brains, so you have to have social organizations that organize people's actions so that what's going on in their brains doesn't conflict with each other. And sometimes it breaks down. And it breaks down, for example, when there are criminals. Criminals love to have privacy, love to be able to shield what's in their brains from what other people are thinking so that people won't know what their criminal intents are. But once everybody's brains become connected to each other, essentially it's all one brain. And you don't have a barrier between your brain and somebody else's brain, just like you don't have a barrier between your left hand and your right hand.
Okay, so hold it right there. We have to go to a break. You'll explain the rest to us when we get back.
Okay.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
All right, we're back here at the Tamar Iona Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're talking about the future. What is in store for us? What perhaps is in store for us? And our guest is Ron Sones. He is the author of a manuscript called Fusion Threshold, and he's talking about how we can essentially very soon be communicating, get this, almost telepathically. So welcome back to the show, Ron Sones.
Thank you. Okay, so a point I need to make is about how fast this is going to happen. Now, what's happening, and we're actually seeing it in technology today, is that technological developments occur faster and faster as time goes on. In my manuscript, I quoted an author of a book called Future Shock, Alvin Toffler. And in it, he talks about how there were various technological developments in the 1800s that took several decades to come to use commonly. And then in the 20th century, it collapsed down to just a decade or so. And then later in the 20th century, it came faster and faster. And we actually saw that ourselves with the iPhone. The first few iPhones, iPhone 3, 4, 5, took 2 years between each new iPhone. But then in the ones after that, they're only 1 year between each one. And it's just an example of how technological effects coming faster and faster, because every technological advance helps other technological advances and they compound each other. And what's happening is something called, or what we're approaching is something called the singularity. Now, that's a term for mathematics, and what it means basically is when you have a situation where things are getting faster and faster. For example, if you divide 100 by 50, you get 2. If you divide 100 by 10, you get 10. 100 by 5, you get 20. As the denominator gets smaller and smaller, the quotient gets larger and larger and larger. As the denominator approaches 0, that quotient approaches what we think of as infinity. And that's where you get a singularity. And a lot of technology writers today are talking about the fact that we are approaching a singularity in our technology, and this brain-computer interface, I think, will be a major part of that. Now, the interesting thing there is that we can expect that this singularity is not going to take hundreds of years to happen, or even dozens of years. I think that within the next 10 years or the next 5 years, it will probably happen, because the effects are becoming, are compounding themselves so quickly that it's going to the pop, and it will be amazed at the amount of things that are going to happen so quickly, and it'll make our heads spin almost literally. And
so what does this mean, you know, for the average person? Does it mean that people who have lost a limb and they have prosthetics now, that they'll be able to control it just by thinking? Give us examples.
Well, exactly. That's one of the things that they, that is widely being thought of now, but it goes quite beyond that, because what will happen is, just as all of our brains will be connected to each other through computers, all our brains will also be connected to all the computers and all the artificial intelligences and all of the mechanisms that control all machinery. So basically what will happen is, if a person wants to have a car, he'll think of what kind of car he wants to have, and the machines will know what kind of car he wants to have, and it'll build it for him immediately, instantly. And that's a trivial thing that will happen. Basically, what's going to happen is we're going to have a condition whereby, compared to what we are now, we're going to think we're going to be in like a godlike position in terms of the amount of power we'll have at our disposal, the amount of things we'll be able to do. And I maintain that this shouldn't be any big surprise. As I think you mentioned in the introduction, if you looked at a Rip Van Winkle who went to sleep a few hundred years ago and came awake today, he'd be amazed at all the things we have now. And he would think that we live like gods compared to the way he lived back then. And likewise, we're going to think that the people of the singularity are going to live like gods compared to us, except it's not going to take 500 years. It's going to be more like 500 days.
So let me ask you this question. How do countries who want to keep secrets from each other, right? I mean, how does that work? If we're all connected, I mean, is this something that we volunteer, like, you know, you log on, or is it going to be something implanted in people? How would something like this work, or how could something like this work?
Well, initially, it'll work through a voluntary connection. You'll voluntarily connect, and what'll happen is people will see that they'll have such great advantages by doing this, by having the information at their disposal that other people have at their disposal, for being able to do work, for being able to make money, to be able to do all the kinds of things they want to do, that anybody who's not part of the system will want to become part of it, because, wow, I don't want to be left out of that. Because, wow, look all the power, look all the capabilities you have by being part of a system like that. So the system, I think, will grow very quickly, voluntarily, because people will see that there's such great advantages to having the capabilities they want to have just by thinking about things. So, they'll have the capabilities.
Right. So how does that work? I mean, how does the thoughts of the brain actually transfer into over the internet, basically? And is the internet fast enough? I mean, my internet connection is so slow, right? And you're saying that this goes the speed of light or something, or at least the speed of sound.
Well, I think the networks will be developed that will be far beyond the internet today. The internet was developed back in, the 1950s and 60s. And the purpose behind the internet was, its main design consideration was that it would survive a nuclear war, so that if a large part of the network were knocked out by nuclear weapons, the rest of the network would still be able to function and get around the parts that were knocked out. And it did a very good job of that, but it had certain weaknesses. For example, it was designed in such a way that it was believed that everybody on the internet would want to cooperate with each other, and it was never envisioned that you would have criminals using it to take advantage of other people. And so consequently, today's internet still has a lot of security holes in it, because it wasn't designed to provide the security like that. Just wasn't part of the original design. But the future network will basically learn from all the mistakes that the internet has, and it will use technologies that we can't even imagine right now to do the interconnections between computers and between computers and brains that we just can't imagine now, because you have to realize that in the future, the way I put it is, it used to be that when you thought about the future, you thought the future would be, you know, sort of like the present and sort of like the past, because things didn't happen so fast. And you could imagine that if you were 1900, that the world of 1910 would be similar to the world of 1890 and 1900. And then indeed it was. It wasn't that much difference. But today, it's not like that. The world of 2030 is going to be very different from the world of 2020, because things happen so much faster.
So does that mean you can't keep a secret anymore? Does that mean you can't keep a secret anymore? No more surprise parties for people?
Well, basically, yeah, because you're not going to be a separate person from anyone else. You're going to be the same person. They're going to be you. You're just going to be one huge mind with several billion bodies.
Well, what about language? You know, not everybody speaks the same language. So
that's
thinking.
An interesting point. Indeed, what will happen is everybody will learn everybody else's language, and all the languages will merge together into some other language that is more efficient for use in such a network. And so that's everyone will learn everybody else's language, basically.
But what about the intelligence of people? Some people have problems learning languages. Is our intelligence going to change as well?
Well, what I think will happen is anybody's brains that have deficiencies will be able to be repaired, as it were, by everybody else's brains, knowing what the problem is and having the technology to make whatever repairs might be necessary to bring a person up to speed so they can function properly within the entire system.
Could that not work the other way, that if you have a lot of people who are dumb or brain damaged, that it can bring everybody else down?
I don't know.
Are these questions too hard?
It might be a possibility, but I would think that those who have the capability would want to preserve the capability and share their capabilities with others so that everybody gains. It's a win-win for everybody if everybody cooperates that way, and there's no reason for them not to, because they're all in the same boat, very literally.
Now, I imagine, I'm assuming, I should say, that you are a Torah observant Jew?
I try to be, yes.
Okay. And so how would something like that work? According to Judaism and what Judaism says, what's going to happen in the future?
Okay. I'm very glad you asked that. Okay. In Devarim, Deuteronomy 14, there's a line that says, "You are the children of Hashem, your God." Right? You may remember that line from somewhere. All right. So the question is, well, if we're the children of God, what do we expect children to grow up to be like? Normally, we expect children to grow up to be something like their parents. Maybe not exactly the same, but something like their parents. And so, indeed, as we develop this singular...
You know what? Hold it right there. We have to go to a break. We're going to be right back, everybody.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
We're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're talking about the future and what it might hold for us. Our guest is Ron Sones. He wrote a 160-some page manuscript on this, and fascinating things that even portend to be something like telepathic communication between people, using being able to control things with just your mind, and that would be great for people who have prosthetics, who are missing limbs and need to. Whatever. I mean, I don't even know what this is going to open up. We're talking also about driverless cars, etc. So, Ron, I wanted to ask you, you wrote this manuscript some time ago. What made you want to write the manuscript?
Well, what made me want to write was the fact that I thought that I was seeing a trend happening with the development of computers that apparently nobody else was noticing. So I said, well, gee, maybe I can write this and send it to a publisher and make a few bucks off it. But it turns out, as I said, the conclusions I reach are so startling that that the publishers just really didn't want to deal with, because I'm talking about a total transformation of humanity into something that it's never been before, something resembling a god in a sense, and something that people just can't imagine minds being connected. And in common literature, particularly science fiction literature, you'll see that that whenever we encounter an alien civilization where everybody's mind is connected to each other, like you see the Borg in Star Trek, if you know what that is. It's always a negative portrayal. It's always something very bad. It's something we want to oppose. We don't want to have anything to do with it, because it's kind of a prejudice in our society against that kind of thing. And we have a great deal of difficulty imagining how social transformations will occur because of our technology. For example, again, with Star Trek, if you look at the Starship Enterprise, it has a captain and a crew as a first officer and this officer and that officer, just like a Navy ship today. Now, why should a ship from 300 or 400 years in the future be organized exactly the same as a Navy ship is today? And the answer is because they can't imagine anything different. So that's what they propose. But what I'm saying is, no, it's not going to be like that. There are going to be huge transformations in what we are and what we're going to become. And in fact, talking about Judaism, back a few weeks ago, we were doing our davening, our prayers for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And in the main prayer, there's a line that says, and they shall become agudat achad, a single society. Or they should become a single society, if you recall that line in the Shemona Esrei prayer. And what I'm saying is that this could very well be the way that happens.
So how would people fall in love? How would people get married? And if we're all connected and all become, in a sense, this one vibration of intellect and thought, you know, where does marriage and home life come in?
I hate to tell you, but those kinds of things as social institutions are all going to become obsolete. It's not going to be. It's going to be can your left hand marry your right hand? I mean, it doesn't make sense. Your left hand and your right hand are part of the same body. And you and everyone else are going to be part of the same mental body, as it were. You'll just have a bunch of billions of physical bodies separate. But the mental body will all be one. And I know that blows people's minds to think about that.
It reminds me of ants, you know?
I'm sorry?
It reminds me of ants, you know? They're all working for the Klal, how do you say Klal? Like the general public and no
right,
mind of their own. But that doesn't sound so appealing for the future.
Well, all right.
I mean, now I know why the publishers don't want to publish your book, because there's no love scenes. There's no romance. There's no humanity even in it, it sounds like.
Well, there's no humanity like humanity is today.
Mm-hmm.
It's about humanity the way humanity will be in the future. And the interactions between the brains, quite frankly, I can't tell you precisely how brains will interact with each other on the basis of everybody knowing what everybody else knows, but still being separate individuals. Whether they will actually be separate individuals or not, I really couldn't tell you because, you know, we haven't been there yet. But those are good questions. And right now, quite frankly, we don't really have the answers, but we need to start thinking about what kinds of things are going to happen if people can communicate with each other much, much faster than they can now, if people can communicate with each other with much, much larger amounts of information over units of time than they can now, and what, if anything, do we have to do about it, or is it going to take care of itself, which I think is what's going to happen. It's basically going to all work out itself, because people will naturally, as they communicate with each other, find the desirability of cooperating rather than conflicting with each other, because by doing that, you accomplish more. It'll become very obvious that you'll be accomplishing more by having this cooperation.
So you know, there's people in this conspiracy world who are talking about the future corona vaccine, and that it's going to have nanotechnology in it and some type of chip that when they inject us with this vaccine, this chip is going to go into us and we're going to be, you know, somehow connected to this like one thing in the sky. Does this have anything to do with your manuscript, like what you thought about in the future, or what? I mean, I don't even know what I mean.
It's a possibility, depending upon what the methods of communication are between these alleged nanochips. It could possibly have something to do with that. I don't know. Depends on how the nanochips interact with your body and with your brain, and whether nanochips are capable of transmitting information in the speeds and quantities necessary to be able to support the kind of systems that I have envisioned. So that's an unknown. I mean, it's kind of speculative to begin with, whether the vaccines will create those kinds of effects. You know, that's something that somebody suggests, and the person suggesting it is from what I understand, not a specialist in that field, but a specialist in a different field. So it's hard to comment on that.
Without romance, without love, without marriage, how is humanity going to reproduce and keep on going? I mean, we're going to get to a point where we go old, we die, and there's no one left.
Well, the methods of reproduction will be, well, I don't want to get into this too much detail, but there will be means of reproduction which will make what we do today seem very obsolete. And that's about all I can say.
No, I don't. I want you to go a little bit more detail that you can, a little bit more, because I don't understand anything what you just said.
In other words, if you've ever read Brave New World,
right,
by Aldous Huxley, it talked about of means of reproduction, they called so-called Bakunovsky groups, if I recall, and they were basically artificial means of reproduction. They didn't depend on normal physical reproduction that mm-hmm. people do.
It's like a test tube babies.
In a sense, yeah, basically.
You know why it's preferable to be a test tube baby? Because then you get a womb with a view.
Yeah, very good.
All right. In the last minute that we have, Ron, what would you like to leave us with?
Well, the thing that I want people to realize is that this is coming really soon. I mean, you think, you know, the things like this, it's huge changes in humanity would take hundreds of years or thousands of years. No, it's going to be taking maybe dozens of years or maybe less, because technology is happening faster and faster. This isn't a new idea. There was a French philosopher named Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, T-E-I-L-H-A-R-D de Chardin, C-H-A-R-D-I-N. He wrote about this concept of minds coming together into a single mind. But the Chiddush, the novel thing now, is the fact that, yeah, it's happening now. The technology to make it happen is coming about right now. And the actual occurrence is very soon at hand. It really is.
I feel like Rip Van Winkle, because I can't even wrap my head around losing your identity, losing your individualism, losing your capacity to be able to fall in love, get married, the human aspect of it. You know, there's something interesting about the technology and about what can be done, but at the same time, you know...
Well, like I say, we're in the position of the people in 1900 who sat on horses and looked at an automobile and said, wow, what a horrible thing.
Yes.
You'll never get me in one of those contraptions.
Well, there I agree with you.
There you go.
All right. Well, we're going to have to wait a few more years to see exactly where this takes us. Not too long, as you say. And I want to thank you for coming on the show, Ron Soans. And anybody who wants to read his manuscript can write us at info@israelnewstalkradio.com, and then we'll send that out to you. Again, info@israelnewstalkradio.com. Thank you, Ron Soans, for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.